Open up to Philippians. This is Thanksgiving week. What a year this has been. And I don't want to anymore hesitate a little for doing this because of history. But I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. I'm telling you, you've got to hear this morning's message by Nathan Barbels. I mean, I'm telling you, it was so good, I come this close to calling Tim and saying, can't we just play that for the second service? It's that good. It's that God. And it's so, what I mean when I say it's that, it's so much the mind of Christ for where we are. And for me, it was wonderful to see such a young man and his wife, of course, but to see such, so full of the Word and so full of the prophecies. See, I finally heard Tim this last time. I don't know if you heard it or not. What I'm talking about, I didn't know that all of the prophecies that have come down through the prayer center since the year 2007, that all of those are available year by year at Dave's website, and you can download it in PDF format. Well, I heard it this time. If they said it before, I didn't get it. And I've already, since that service, got them on my iPad and Sue's iPad. And I find out that because I carry that with me virtually everywhere now, I'm reading them and meditating more than I have in a long time. But what was refreshing to me, Nathan would open his mouth, and it was either the Word written or the Word prophesied. But it was God. Yes, sir. And it's really important, this service, that I do my best to follow him, okay? So I begged him. He wouldn't let me make any notes, nothing. I have one verse, two little places. I'm not even sure we're going to go to both of those. What a year. I'm going to say it again. What a year this has been for me personally. Starting right at the beginning when he said this was the year that we sell out to him. The revelations that have come forward, I don't know if they've changed you. They have changed me. I know I don't think like I did a year ago. The message called Higher Thoughts and Higher Ways is still generating more revelation on the inside of me. It's changed my daily... No, it's... Correction. It's changed my moment-by-moment life with God. It's changed how I feel about the... Not how I feel, see. It's changed how I walk in the kingdom. It's changed what I expect. I know it was a promotion in thought when I was more concerned about the hospital workers. After we empty the hospital of the children. It's like that's a given now. That's not a maybe so. And my thought now was, Lord, how are we going to find employment for all these good people here? Because it's not your will that they all be out of work. To me, you just don't know in my thinking what a quantum... That's not the right word, Bernard, sitting right there. What a... what is that word? It's a change in my level of thinking. Other things, even the message a week ago about Peter... That revelation last week, and that's happening a lot more, isn't it? Where I stumble over words. It's because I'm right at the edge. I'm trying my best not to give you Gary. I'm trying my best to give you him and what he's really wanting to say to you. See, I know if this is happening to me, it's happening with you, because we're right on the cusp of revival, whether you know that or not. We are right on the cusp of it. Nathan's message this morning, I was just... So many things in it spoke to me, and I know it will speak to you, or did speak to you if you heard it, and it will speak to you if you do hear it. But he was saying things like, if we don't change, you know, this is the year that we sell out to him. Let's say it another way. This is the year where we're putting more flesh on the altar than we ever had before, so that his fire can consume it. And the reason is next year is the year of power. I believe that. Then Nathan said, but that doesn't happen by accident. That's not the right word. It doesn't happen without you doing something. Say it that way. So when he said that, like, and then he said it this way, I think. It's close enough. Next year doesn't happen without you doing what he said this year. That's not exactly how he said it, but that's the truth. Now, in my mind, immediately, I went back to several events. God knows, listen, smoking is not really any bigger fault than any other one. It's just one that everybody can see. Smoking is a good teaching tool because it's real obvious, okay? And it's one that I had to deal with, so of course I use that. But I remember how the Lord used Sue and I. I remember the time that he healed that girl of cancer through our nicotine-stained fingers. Religion will tell you that's not possible, but it is. It wasn't us or our nicotine fingers healing the girl. It was him, see? All right? But there came a time when God wanted to do more with us than what he was doing. We didn't know it, but he knew it. That he was about to start sending us at that time around the world. Up until then, we'd only ministered in the United States. He was wanting to send us. The first one was to Poland. The second one was to Africa. The next one, he sent us to Asia, which is South Korea. I went there for 6 years. Now, so if you can get the idea, at that time he was dealing with me, I was still smoking. I did not know what was coming exactly. I did not know that he was going to send us overseas. I did not know. He knew. He had something in mind. And here's the way he said it to me. I mean, he loved me while I was smoking. He did exactly what Dave said. He walked through hell with me while I was smoking. But see, we continued to do the things that Dave was teaching. Dave would say it this way. He'd say, God will walk through hell with you, with your stronghold. As long as you don't start justifying that stronghold and saying it's not sin when it is. And as long as you continue to do those things that will one day spell out your freedom. Well, we did. We continued. Dave would kill me and then heal me. One service he'd say, are you going to let a little three-inch stick of weed, are you going to let it be Lord of your life? And of course, I wanted to say no. But the truth of it was, in the early days, Sue and I couldn't even make it through a single service. We had to take a smoke break about every 20 minutes. We'd sneak out the door, go walking down the path. You go down a little hill, you're hit. Dave always talks about my smoking tower over here, the water tower on Union. It's not that that's the smoking tower, that's where the hill is. Once I drive over it, I figure you can't see me anymore and I could light up. That's... Anyway, God was working with us. We had a relationship with God. He was using us in that condition. Now, see, the thing of it is, that was just one fault. That was the obvious fault. Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to pause right there for a minute. I'm going to follow him even if it's difficult. I'm going to pause right there. Let's talk about strongholds for a minute. Because see, this is the year that we sell out to him. And we've been, how many times have we gone to Luke chapter 9 where he talks about if any man comes after me, you're going to have to take up your cross how often? Daily. And we've examined that at length. There's only one purpose for a cross, and that's death. A cross is not intended to wound you. I didn't get any amens. God's not interested in wounding you. He's interested in killing you. He's talking about the old man. He's talking about the flesh. Fred and I talk. Fred, I love Fred because Fred is real. He's not religious. Fred and I talk. He says, Gary, I have trouble with my flesh. And I go, high five, my brother. I understand that. That's just somebody I can talk to over here, okay, that's not too religious to tell me the truth. Me too. All right? And those strongholds, though, He's trying to bring us to the place where we're not. See, what we want to do, we'll even take the wounding as long as we get to keep it. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Fred knows what I'm talking. We'll even take the wounding as long as I can keep it. I know. Yeah. So the reason I stopped right there, he reminded me of a vision I saw one time. And you guys can relate with this. My life before Christ was all about money. There's no two ways about it. Anybody that knew me then, every decision I made, everything always, always was about money. Every decision. Now, getting saved itself, the born-again experience itself, made a really big, serious wound to money. From that day forward, I never was so easy to be manipulated by money. And it lost much of its incentive for me. I really did want more. My life was more about God than it was money from that point on. But what I didn't know, because I can't see my heart like God sees my heart, there was still enough residual greed on the inside of me that I was easy prey for the TV preachers. And what I mean by that, I'm not saying they're all evil. Not all. Not most, really. But it made me easy prey because something in me still really, 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 really wanted that prosperity. So here they're offering me these formulas that say, oh, well, God wants you to have that too, you know. So here is step one. Here's seven steps to financial prosperity, you know. And I was easy prey for that. And so, anyway, I'm so glad again there are no teachings. There are no recordings of Gary Carpenter teaching those Bible studies in the 80s. Thank God for that. That's his mercy. Because I was just a little parrot. I heard him on TV and I parroted the same thing. And I heard him on TV and I parroted the same thing. And I tried to live it. It never did work. Why? Because it's false doctrine. God's not behind it in any way. So, then we meet this Dave Roberson guy. He says, if you pray in tongues, it'll change you. Boy, you got that right. Started praying in tongues. And, really praying. You know, I was in my 40s. I think we were 45 the day we walked through the doors of the church. I didn't have decades to waste. I needed to get with this. And God had me in the perfect job, as you know, to begin. If you really wanted to pray a lot, which I did, I got paid to pray. I mean, it was a perfect job. God's really, everyone say God is good all the time. And then say, all the time, God is good. He had me in the perfect job. He had me in the perfect house. We were close to the prayer center. And I began to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And then one day, you know, you heard me tell this. I'm leading up to a vision now that has to do with today's message. I mean, I had kind of got accustomed that when I pray that I would hear something or I'd see a little vision or something, you know. And boy, I'd been praying for like 15 hours. I hadn't heard nothing, hadn't seen nothing. So I just asked God. I said, I know you don't have to answer this, but could you mind telling me, what are you doing right now? While I'm doing all this praying, could you mind telling me what you're doing? And just immediately, and it's clear, this was not an I felt led moment, as clear as you're hearing my voice right now, he said, I'm driving the money changers from the temple. Uh-oh. I know that in our dispensation, God does not live in temples made out of stones with hands. God dwells in us. I knew he was talking about me. So praying in tongues, he continued then to dismantle false doctrine in me about finances. But he also dismantled greed. Can I say it that way? More and more greed. More and more, the motivation in me was not what I could get out of it. The motivation in me was what could he get out of it. Okay? Now, that brings me to the vision. Now we're back up to the cross, and God's not interested in wounding you. And one year, he was reminding me of a prophecy that actually came through Dave. And I think it went something like this. Money to greed is the same as gasoline to a fire. That makes sense, right? Money to greed is the same as gasoline to a fire. Then I began to see this vision. And in the vision, there's a bonfire. I mean, pretty good sized bonfire, you know, going. stand way back. A lot of heat. And in the vision, somebody came and they threw it's a gallon can. And they threw it on that fire. Whew, you know what happened? Whoosh. Then the vision changed. And there was a little candle. No bonfire now. Just a little candle. But it was lit. That same person came with the same gallon can of gas. Poured it on the flame. And do you know what? The results were exactly the same. He's not interested in wounding greed on the inside of me. He's interested in killing greed. If he's going to get... Now, this would be applicable if you're a gospel entrepreneur or called to steward money for the kingdom. If greed is in you, he's not interested in wounding greed. He's interested in killing greed. Now, you apply that same thing to every stronghold that we have. Gary, I don't have any strongholds. Repent for lying first. Or ask God to take the blinders off your eyes. Or ask your neighbors. We're all working through stuff. I'm working through stuff. Fred's working through stuff. This is the year that we sell out to Him. So even this year, what a year it's been for me. In some ways it's been, I could just take the last few days and tell you about all the hell that the devil's thrown at us personally, at our family, us personally, our extended family, other things. We could sit like that most Christians do around coffee, you know, pound the table, and I could compare my mountain with your mountain. That's what we like to do, is talk to each other about our mountains. You know, that's what we do. You know, and my mountains, I'm sure, is bigger than your. How bad have you had it? Well, let me tell you about my mountain. I remember God told Norval one time, Norval Hayes, God says, my people, He says, I told them to talk to the mountain. But all they want to do is talk to me about the mountain. Or talk to each other about their mountain. But I can hardly get any of them to ever talk to the mountain themselves. And cast it into the sea. Well, this is the year of selling out to Him. So even the revelation that came recently about the tent of meeting that Moses erected in the wilderness, that fire did not fall from heaven. You know, the tent of meeting was a pretty good place because that's where God would come and talk to Moses face to face as a man does to his friend. How's that for a good place? How's that for a type and shadow of what He wants with you? That's what He wants. Come talk to you face to face like a man does to his friend. But there was a requirement first. What was it? Flesh on the altar. God didn't put the flesh there. Man had to put the flesh there. Now we're going back to Africa. Back to that when I was just smoking and smoking, smoking. And it's not like I hadn't tried in the natural. I had tried in the natural. I tried everything that come along. Nicotine gum, nicotine patch. We've heard the story. One time I was chewing nicotine gum and had a patch on each arm and had to pull over for a smoke break. And what you don't know about that story, I was on my way to do a service. Anyway. And God moved. The secret was to keep praying. Oh, that's how Dave would save my life. First he'd say, you're going to let a 3-inch little stick of weed control your life? And weekly I'd go, no. But I was. Then the next service he'd go, better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. I'd go, yeah, that's it. Back to my ugly building. And it wasn't the Shekinah glory cloud, but the nicotine cloud I prayed in all the time. But eventually, now see, here's the thing. Here's what he said to me that day, because it's promotion day. So we're coming to promotion time this next year. And I don't mean it's necessarily at the tick of the clock when it goes midnight. But this next year coming up is the year of power. He could have said it that way to me in that motel room in New York, where Sue and I were ministering, and I was still smoking. And He was using us. But I'll just tell you the vision again. Now, again, this was not an I felt led moment either. To me, He walked in the room. I can't tell you what he looked like, but it's Jesus. I don't know how that works, but that's who it is. And he said this kind of thing to me. I don't have it word for word. I didn't know I was going to say it. But he said, you know that you and I are doing good work together. You have a good relationship with me. You can stay just like you are, and I'll use you. And you'll come to heaven and have a good reward if you stay just like you are. He said, when you get here, I'm going to have to draw back a curtain and show you the things that it was in my will for you to do that you never did get to do because you would not deal with your flesh. And I knew he was talking about the smoking. He did go ahead and say, he says, where I'm wanting to send you, if you don't deal with this, they won't listen to a word you have to say. There's just no point in me sending you. Well, okay. Boy, that was a tough night. I don't even know. I think I did go to bed. I don't remember. That was a tough night. Yet the next day was a tougher day. I know God can deliver without withdrawals. I've had him do that with me. He did it with alcohol. I've never yet had a withdrawal. Boy, he did not do that with cigarettes. Withdrawals. I didn't even know he was going to send us. We wound up going to Poland, wound up going to Africa. Africa especially. I was there 31 days and I was suffering withdrawals like you cannot believe. I'm trying to pray, get people healed. And on the inside, the withdrawals are so bad, I'm thinking, God, just kill me now. My flesh was suffering. That verse, that one of the verses Nathan said this morning, he that's freed from sin has suffered in the flesh. Amen. My flesh hated it, kicking and screaming the whole time, going, now, you know he loved you before. You can go ahead and do this. Come to find out, though, what I didn't know, but he knew. And see, it wouldn't have made any difference in Poland. I got to tell you, they smoke so much in Poland, it doesn't matter. But in South Africa, that group where he sent me, it's amazing. Different cultures have different perceptions. And here you get around Pentecost, here in the USA, you get around Pentecostals. If you even mention heaven and wine, they don't even know if you're saved. Okay. But over there, Pentecostal people, they have wine with almost every meal except breakfast. Now they don't get drunk, but they might get happy. They'll have two, you know. They don't get drunk, really. They're okay. But it's just not an issue. But there, and the same in Korea, if you smoke, you're not saved. They won't believe it for a second. In that culture, that's just the way it is. And that exactly matched up with what the Lord had said to me. Now, they didn't know it, but I'm going through withdrawals like crazy. I feel like a sheep eating dog. I feel guilty that I'm going through the devil's crazy. First he tells you ought to smoke because all your friends do and you'll be accepted. That's 14 years old. Then he condemns you when you do. Then when you quit, he says, well, you shouldn't preach because you have been a smoker. And I'm going, what? There's no winning with that dude. See, he's going to condemn you. I don't care what you do. You got that? I'm over there feeling it like a sheep eating dog. I have got withdrawals. My skin feels like there's 1,000 ants on it all the time. And none of you people that listen to me, they go, I can always tell when people have been addicted or not. Anyone that tells you that you get over an addiction in 21 days has never been addicted to nothing. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm so glad that I endured. This goes right along with Nathan's message. He went to Hebrews 12. You know, if you endure the chastening. No chastening for the moment seems pleasant, but grievous. And I'm remembering Africa. Do you know what happened? I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. This is free. No, wait. Take up a love offering real quick. I've never had this happen before or since. The very last night I was in Africa. We had a special little meeting, and it was really, I'd been teaching in a school during the day, like a Christian school, and to adults. And a lot of them had unsaved spouses, and some of them had saved spouses but not spirit-filled. Well, that night we had, the last night that I was ministering there, we had kind of a celebration thing and a barbecue, what they call a barbecue, and it's interesting. It's a good word for it. And that night, people wanted prayer. I've never had it happen before since exactly this way, but that night the word of knowledge came to me for every single person there. As soon as I stood in front of them, I knew if they were saved or not saved. I knew if they were saved but not spirit-filled. I knew if they were spirit-filled but did not have a fluent prayer language. How God worked that night was just amazing. And on, but me personally, 1,000 ants were crawling on my skin. I was going through withdrawals so bad I just wanted to run like a scalded dog. What does that have to do with your spirit man? What does that have to do with it? See? Well, now the message that was coming this morning, which is not just Nathan's message, this is what God's been saying through the prophecies this whole season. I am wanting to take you into the year of power. I can't take you there the way you are. I love you the way you are. I'm using you to all that I can the way you are. But I'm wanting to use you more. But I can't unless you choose to put more flesh on the altar. And God never does do that. God doesn't put it on there for you. Ouch. I got a call this week from a real good friend, minister of mine, a real good friend, minister of mine. I know I said go to Philippians 4. I told you I didn't know where we was going. You can make keep a marker there. We may or may not get back to it. But go to Peter, one of them. I'm not trying. I don't do this thing on purpose. I'm just doing my best to follow him. 2 Peter, chapter 1. We'll just start in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these what? These exceeding great and precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, that's the new birth, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now this, starting here in verse 5, is what my minister friend was asking me about. It says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. Can you see change here? Can you see a growth pattern here? Or adding things? And to verse 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity, which is the love of God. For if these things be in you and abound, not just in you, but and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, isn't that a great passage? But his question was this. He says, look, the way it's worded. I mean, first, God gave us these exceeding great and precious promises. That's definitely by grace. I mean, he just gave us the promise free, and we have to receive that. Amen. But it says, it sounds like Peter saying, look how he words this. Verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add. It sounds like he's saying for you to do it, my minister friend was saying. Like you're to add to your faith virtue. He says, how can I add to my faith virtue? And to virtue knowledge and so forth and so on. He says, it sounds like he's saying for me to do it, but if I'm doing it, how is it grace? What you do right there is you say, that's a good question. I'll call you back later. Actually, he emailed it to me, so I had some time to think about it. So I started praying about it, and the Lord made it so simple. Keep your place there and go to Ephesians chapter 4. Peter's not saying anything different than Paul said. He's just using different words. I'll show you what I mean by that. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Who put it off? You put it off. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now notice verse 24. And that you put on. You put on the new man. Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Paul's saying the same thing as Peter. He said, no, God's already done for you the grace part. He changed your nature. He gave you the very life of Christ on the inside of you. It's not a little Christ. It's not, you don't have a little Jesus running around on the inside of you. You have His life. You have His strength. Same way that you were born a sinner with a sin nature from Adam. Now you've been born a child of God. You've been born righteous with the very nature of Christ on the inside of you. But He's saying you have to choose to walk in that. You do it. Look at it again. It's in your Bible. Look at it. That you put off concerning the old man. That's choice. That's the very thing that God prizes so much. He didn't slap Adam on the way to the tree. And if God was ever going to take away a man's free will choice, He would have done it right there. Slapped Adam. Don't you do it? No. God, by His grace, freely has given you a nature. Let's look at another place where Paul wrote this in a little different words, back up to Galatians. Again, if I'm not mistaken, Nathan quoted these verses again today also. It's God just tying this all together. It's His mind for this season. Verse 16, Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Who's supposed to walk in it? Who's He talking to? God's going to walk it for you? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's telling us to walk in the Spirit. To the Ephesians, He says, you put off the old man. Jesus said, you got to put your flesh on that cross every day. Well, how do I walk in the Spirit, Brother Gary? I'd like to recommend a book to you. I'll recommend the Bible, but another one I'd really highly recommend is called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power by Pastor Dave Roberson. Say, well, there's not any in the bookstore. It's free at the website. You can download it in PDF format. You can also, in case you don't know this, I know I'm 67, but I use Kindle. If you have, boy, how many knows what Kindle is? It was so quiet when I said that. You can download Dave's book in Kindle for free. Kindle is great. I love Kindle better than having the physical book. Because in Kindle, I can make my own notes. I can highlight. I can do all kinds of things. It really, really, really becomes mine. And I have it with me everywhere I go. I have it on my phone. Got it on my iPad. We're at that season right now. Yes, sir. Going back to the... Again, I'd have to follow him by the pictures. Going back to the tent of meeting. Every one of you is the tent of meeting. Every one of you has got a tent made out of this old flesh, this old stuff. But God is wanting to come and talk to you face to face as a man does to his friend. Really, you're more than a friend. You're his child. And we're his friend also. We're friendly. We have a good relationship is what I'm saying. But that voice did not come until the fire fell. And the fire did not fall until the flesh was on the altar. You see the same thing at Solomon's temple all those years later. Dave taught us how many tanker trucks it would have taken to haul away all of the blood sacrifice. All of that. What's that a type of? All of that flesh, all of that flesh. And we all know that all of those things ultimately are pointing to the Lamb on the cross. That's the blood that was shed for us. But that same Lamb, that same one, he turned right around and said to us in Luke 9 and other places, if you want to be my disciple and come after me, you are going to have to put your flesh on the cross. And that's where we are. This is the year of selling out to him. So far I've been talking about fleshly strongholds. This could be all kinds of things. This could be drinking, smoking, chewing. How does Dave say that? Drinking, smoking, chewing, and going with girls that are doing. Think of that. But see, there's a lot worse strongholds than that. Envy, greed, the one I was talking about. Selfish ambition. Let's just put all those together and call it agendas. Agendas. There's a prophecy that came last year, 2013, where the Lord specifically talked about agendas. And he was talking about this inner circle that he was going to be drawing us into. And this is the year he's been drawing us into it. And it's going to be even more so as we go into the year of power. But let me read you. This came on April 7th, 2013. He says, some will resist stepping into this new place I have created for you. Some will hold on to knowledge as their strength. Some will hold on to works as their strength. But you, I am calling you forward into this place, a place of worship, of fellowship, of intimacy. Make up your mind today to leave all behind and come in to me. Give me your will. Now I'm going to add, because he'll never take it. He's never going to take it by force is what I mean. He will receive it. The way he says it is, give me your will. Give me your life. Give me your heart. And step across that line. And you will find who I really am. For you do not know who I really am yet, but I will show it unto you. Come closer. Come closer. He's saying that those who are resisting what he is doing, what he wants to do, they will come out and attack you and try to stop you from crossing that line. They'll try to hold you back with those things of knowledge and self-centeredness and self-will. Leave them. He is saying, I need you to cross this line and leave them if they will not come. Say, Jesus would never. Okay, this is Gary. Jesus would never do that. That's false prophecy. Really? When he said to them, to the multitudes, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And it said that great multitudes of his followers turned away and did not follow him again. Did he go running after them?
No.
Did he have special classes? Because they did not understand. He let them go. Then he turned around to the 12. And in today's vernacular, he was saying, there's the door. If you want to leave, go. I can find some others. You know? No. We're going to have to follow him. You hear me? So this place he has created for us to go to, there is such a purity in this place that he wants us to go to. Now, if you hear this, it is a place where man's agenda cannot be. Last Sunday's message called The Recovery of Peter. Peter had a different agenda his whole time with Jesus. Peter loved Jesus. Peter forsook everything to follow Jesus. With so many I admire Peter. He's one of my favorites in all the New Testament. If you haven't heard that message, I really recommend you hear it, because he had a different agenda. His idea of how the ministry of Jesus was going to end was completely different than what Jesus' agenda was. And it affected Peter through his whole walk. And I can't reteach that today. Your idea of how God intends to use you might just be your idea. It might be a preconceived notion. It might be, I don't know how it got in you. But it may or may not be His plan. So when He says man's agenda, and really I'm preaching at kind of the high end of that. Most people, oh man, I'm going to say this. Be nice, Gary. We're so blessed to go to this church. Most people would never, the thought would never occur to them that their thoughts are not His agenda. It would never even occur. Well, of course God wants me to pastor a church. Well, of course He wants it to be a big church. Well, of course He wants it to be prosperous. Well, of course He wants me to have Cadillacs and of course. And God says, no, I want you to go serve soup to the lepers on this island till you die. What? Lord, I've looked all through the Bible. I don't see that calling. Soup to the lepers. I don't see that in there anywhere, God. Nobody ever heard that it was going to rain until Noah heard. Nobody ever told a hundred year old man and a 90 year old woman that they were going to have a baby. I love the written word of God. But you're not going to be able to stand there one day and point at it as an excuse for why you did not obey His voice. Oh God. Oh. That even stung me. Yes, sir. Gary, can you give me a good example of that? Absolutely. Don't turn there right now, but it's Acts 16. Don't we have a command from Jesus, go ye into all the world to preach the gospel? I grew up, the church I grew up in, you could chisel that over the door of every church I grew up in. Now, not the rest of it, they'll cast out devils and all of that. But that part right there, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those that believe will be saved and those that don't will be damned and all, you know. Okay? We got chapter and verse. Yet in Acts 16, Paul and Silas are praying about what to do. Maybe we should go into Bithynia. First it was Asia, I think. Let's go over here to Asia. And the Holy Spirit forbade it. Now it would not do for Paul to pull out a scroll. I have it written right here that Jesus said, go ye into all the world. Asia, let me check. Yes, Asia is in the world. I don't hear what you say, God. I'm going to go to Asia. Would that work? Will He bless you if you do that? Absolutely. Anything you do, He will bless all that He can. But just know that you're going to be way out on the edge of His permissive will somewhere. I don't want to be out on the edge of His permissive will somewhere. I don't want to be pastoring some little church if He hasn't called me to pastor in the first place. I don't want to be pastoring a big wealthy church if He hasn't called me to pastor in the first place. I want to be right where He tells me to be, doing what He tells me to do. And if that's soup to the lepers, so be it. What does that matter to me? I've been bought with a price. Boy, you're preaching real strong, Gary. How'd you do with the football yesterday? I got a B minus. Fred, I'm preaching to us now, Fred. I got about a B minus. I don't, you know, maybe C plus. I'm not sure, somewhere in there. I want to get an A. My flesh does not. You got to under. This is why that prophecy is so important. You are not your struggles. The real me wants an A. The Gary, son of God, who wants to see the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear, I want an A. My flesh, it don't care. At all. It wants OSU to win the national football title. That's all that it cares about. That's all that it cares about. It doesn't care. Leave the children in the hospital as long as Oklahoma State wins. I am not my struggles. We, Am I preaching good? Am I in the right church? Am I talking to the right? Okay, all right. I better go back to prophecy. I'm getting into too much trouble here. This place, in my mind, he's talking about this year. When he says, this place I've created for you to go, this is it. We're at the door. The year of power. We're at that door. And he's saying, oh, you want to come in? Yes. Now, for those of you who can't see me, I'm doing my little hallelujah with my hands up in the air, doing a little victory dance. Yes, I want to come in. My spirit, that's my spirit, man. My flesh, too, as long as I can bring Oklahoma State football team with me. And God's going, no, that's got to stay outside the door. No. No. Nathan, am I doing okay? Is this like part two? Is this okay? So let me read this sentence again. This place he has created for us to go. There is such a purity in this place that he wants us to go to. It's a place where man's agenda cannot be. Many of you are ready to go into this place, and some will try. But their agenda will stop them because they don't want to give it up yet. Now let's just stop again. In light of the teaching, it was my choice. That was a hard, hard day in New York after I had that vision from him. I'm telling you, the emotions, what did it? Withdrawals are tough. Does anyone in here besides me know that withdrawals are tough? They're tough, aren't they? They're tough. Okay? And what makes them tough? Emotions. Say, I'm not bothered by that. Oh, really? Talk to me on the third day of your fast. Yeah. What's fasting for? Do it 2 or 3 days. You'll find out. It's how you can incite a war. How does Alan? You can pick a fight with your emotions, and it won't kill you. You just think it will. And we'll find out who's toughest. We'll find out who's strong in the camp. Okay. It was my choice to make that decision. Even after he came, and when he drew back that curtain, I can't tell you. He drew back that curtain. He says, I'm going to have to show you what it was my will for you to accomplish that you never could. There was there's a lack words. The pain, the emotional pain of facing that day, of really having to be there and him do that, was greater. That's what sustained me for a year and a half, through the emotions of withdrawals. Every time that's it. Even in Africa, you don't even know the number of times I thought. I mean, I noted where the stores were that I could walk to buy cigarettes at night when nobody could see me. I never did do it, but I made note of it. Withdrawals are tough, and the flesh wants what it wants. But the emotions of that incident with him would rise up. I go, nope. Nope, not going to do it. Thank God, finally made it. Took about a year, and you 21 day people, it took about a year and a half before I had a day where it dawned on me, I never even thought about him. That was about a year and a half later. Anyway, back to this. Many of you are ready to go into this place. Some will try, but their agenda will stop them. Because they don't want to give it up yet. Previews. I think he really covered well last Sunday that whole thing about Peter. But there's so much more. Do you ever wonder why in Mark's account and Luke's account both, right after Jesus tells them that he's going to be crucified, he's going to be persecuted, arrested, and die, and then 3 days later be raised up. Right after that, and of course, the incident with Peter happens where Peter says, no, this will not happen to you, and this whole thing. Then right after that, Jesus says, he that is ashamed of me. I'm going to just go ahead and previews. I don't have time to lay this out for you. Peter was ashamed of the plan of God for Jesus' life. He was ashamed of it. That is not what he thought the Messiah was going to be. He thought the Messiah was going to overthrow Rome, set up the earthly kingdom, and he was going to reign and rule from Jerusalem. And that's why they wanted one to sit on his right hand and one on his left. They weren't thinking about heaven. They were thinking about the kingdom on earth. One of the reasons that Peter denied him was not just that Peter doesn't strike me as being a real fearful guy. He was ready to take on that all those guys that came to arrest him. Peter was the only one. He drew out a sword. He's like, I'll kill you all. Jesus had already told him that this was going to happen, but see, he still had not laid that down. And one of the reasons why he did not say that he knows him, it's not that he was, I'm sure there was some fear that they might hurt him, but I don't think that was it. That's what Jesus was saying. Don't be ashamed of me. Don't be ashamed of my gospel. What he saw there with Jesus being arrested and whipped and ridiculed and mocked and a crown of thorns, everything that was happening, he was ashamed of it. I prophesy. He has to prepare your heart so that when he shows you his true plan, you won't be ashamed of it. It may not just be the Cadillacs and the millions you thought it was going to be. Might just not be. But it's his plan. And right on the other hand, he does call people to that. Rich people got to be saved too, you know. Rich people got to fund the gospel. He has a calling, but just like when Peter finally got it, which I'll tell you when he got it. I already told you last week. Now when he finally got it, was there after he'd going to go fishing? Jesus says, well, this is what you're going to do with the rest of your life, Peter. Got to remember, Jesus had already appeared to the man twice. And even after that, Peter says, I'm going to go fishing. He went back to that which he knew. He went back to that which was familiar. Jesus said, that's what you're going to spend the rest of your life? Is that what you love, or do you love me? Three times he asked him. Why? Because three times he denied him. Do you love me? Well, I do, Lord. And finally he says, Lord, only you really know. You know if I love you. And all three times he told him, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. That was Christ's agenda for Peter. And Peter could not be ashamed of it. He could not choose a secular fishing occupation over it, not and be his disciple. He could make heaven that way. Am I at the right church? Our agendas, what he's talking about here, they have to come down. Sometimes the hardest part is seeing that you have one. So often, most people don't even know that they do. Many are ready to go into this place. Some will try, but their agenda will stop them because they don't want to give it up yet. But many of you are ready to come. And I am ready to move you forward because behind you, there is a circle that I'm seeing. It is a large circle of a place of intimacy, a place of purity, a place of God relating to you, to his children, without men's agenda. And I see that a group is walking into it. And as you walk into this circle, your agenda falls off of you. You walk in. But those who have an agenda, a personal agenda, they cannot get into this circle without letting go of the agenda. And it is stopping them. And so this circle is surrounded by people who appear to know God, but they don't. And they can't get in. Yet the circle is filling and filling, and there are many immature Christians who are following this group into this circle, who don't know much about God, but they will follow us right through into the circle, where they will experience a purity of his love without man's agenda in between to hijack it. God. He is speaking to us here today. And to whoever is part of this message, I am asking you to come closer. To come closer because you are creating a trail for babies to come. And skip all of those years of religion. And just bask and grow, knowing only my love. This is a separation. This is a separation. This circle that I see, it is a playground for God's children to enjoy His love, and it is protected. This is a dangerous place for some people. It is also a place of judgment in there. And those are the people who come in or try to come in with agendas. But for those of you who will just run into His presence, miracles flow easy in this place. And this is a place where brokenness is healed. I read that and I tremble. I read that. I'm going, God, do I have agendas still? I mean, I can look behind me and I can see so many agendas that have already fallen off over the years. But it makes me wonder what else might be in me. What else is in me? It's just in me to the point I don't even know it's in me. Something that's opposite to Your plan for my life. Well, how in the world would I find that out? Let me think. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands Him. How be it, or this is how it be, in the Spirit, He speaking mysteries. Now, while you're speaking those mysteries, your understanding is unfruitful. Your spirit's doing the praying. But the whole intent of that is that your understanding doesn't remain unfruitful. You don't know what's being spoken right at that moment that you're praying. But eventually, your spirit is going to understand that mystery, whatever it is. And in your spirit will turn around and enlighten your mind. Usually that takes a while. I like how Dave used to teach it all the time. He says your spirit's like the hard drive on a computer. It can process a lot of information really quick. That's why God likes to communicate directly with your spirit. But your mind is more like the monitor. It only brings up one screen at a time. Boy, I have found that to be the case. Amen? Yes, sir. Now, finally, we get to go to Philippians. It's Thanksgiving week. You cannot judge this circle by your circumstances. I'll just tell you right now. One of the primary secrets, if there is such a thing, or key to walking in the kingdom is learning to walk by faith and not by sight. I could go to passage after passage of Paul's where he talks about stonings, fastings, shipwrecks, distressed on every side, persecuted and all of the... I could go through all of those things. Could Paul judge whether he was in the center of God's will by those things? No. So look at Philippians 4. We'll pick it up in verse 10. Paul is thanking them, the Philippians, that they had sent a financial offering to help him, and they sent it by the hands of a man named Epaphroditus, and Paul's thanking them. He says, verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." And all he's really saying there is they didn't know where he was. They didn't know where he was. He got arrested, and he's in prison, and they found out he was there, so they sent a gift by the hand of this man named Epaphroditus. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound." Now let's stop there for a minute. I know how to be abased. Abased means brought low. It's not Peter's vision. It's not Peter's vision that he had for the Messiah, that he would be brought low at all. Peter's vision was, he's going to take over and we're going to overthrow these Roman oppressors and we're going to establish the kingdom and it's going to be great. Okay? But Paul says, no, I've learned how to be abased. You reckon he was abased? Sure he was. But he learned how to be content right in the middle of it. Boy, Americans don't know much about that. I'll tell you right now, we don't know much. We're spoiled. You know? Do you know the other half of that is more dangerous than the first half? Prosperity is a much greater threat to your dedication to God than adversity is. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Most people, when they abound, I mean really abound, the abounding gets them. The abounding gets them, you know. And those prophecies that came to the gospel entrepreneur all those years ago, I'll never forget it. I can still hear Dave's voice saying, by the time the man makes the money has made the man. That is true. That is true. But Paul says, no, you can learn how to abound and still be content. You can learn to have abound. Let's say abundance. Abundance. Let's talk about maybe you're sitting there and in your checkbook there's $50 billion. How's that? Is that enough? $60 billion, okay. Trying to make a point. If he brought that to you, my only question is, if he brought that to you, when that $60 billion appeared in your account, did you get rich? Yeah, you say that. We all say that. But see, if you did, you don't know how to abound yet. Most people, when they abound, yes, I knew God's blessing was come all the time. It's finally here. It's mine, mine, mine. Hallelujah. New car, new house, new boat. Two boats. Now notice, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed. If you have been instructed, there has to be an instructor. The Holy Ghost has taught me. Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, has taught me to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. And he says in all those things he's learned to be content. My contentment level is higher than it used to be when I'm in need. Gary, is there room for improvement? Oh yeah. I'll tell you what's really even harder. I've never had $60 billion, but we've had an abundance at times. And the instruction was, don't touch it. Did you know sometimes that's harder? Especially if you've been in a period of need for a long time. He says, well, let's see. You say it's mine. Let's see if it is. Don't touch it. Ah! Verse 13 is the key. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, how did he get to that place? I don't think a person has a chance to walk in this if they don't leave it in the context of what he just taught right before. So back up a little bit to verse 6. Be careful for nothing. That in plain English, stop your worrying. And don't worry about anything. But a sickness has attacked my body. Well, the answer is not worry. Boy, was it quiet when I said that. The answer to that is not worry. The answer to that is not worry. It's contentment. Not accepting it, but knowing you have dominion over it. Don't worry about it. Speak to it. Do what we've been told. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Now notice, what week is this? Thanksgiving week? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Why does it include with thanksgiving? Because you know when you pray, your prayer is answered. You know he heard you. My body doesn't feel like it. That's got nothing to do with it. You're talking about living by sight. I'm talking about living by faith. You gotta, when he says, I know how to suffer need. How do you do that and be content? My God will never leave me nor forsake me. My God supplies all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Does it feel good? No. But the difference, one is life and one is death. One is victory and one is defeat. One is Christ and one's the world. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. Now, this is leading up to that contentment he's talking about. There is a peace of God right in the midst of pain. Right in the midst of withdrawals. Right in the midst of you just lost your agenda that you had planned for your whole life. And he showed you that's not his plan for your life. Right in the midst of it. There is a peace that can pass all understanding. Your mind goes, you should be worried out of your gourd. What's wrong with you? Well, what's wrong with me is I got saved. And I don't live by sight anymore. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he gives instructions here that nobody hardly ever follows. Including, I have to fight to do this. Things show up at your house. I'm talking about things like sickness, things like financial attacks, things like bad news of any kind. Things show up and the last thing you want to do is this. What you want to do is call your neighbor and say, I got another mountain. New mountain showed up 10 o'clock this morning. Didn't have it yesterday. Got it today. By the way, I had to put it on top of my other mountain because it's still here. Isn't that what we do? No. Whatever things are true, Father, thy word is truth. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That is not a suggestion. He's saying, you want to walk in peace? You want to learn how to be content no matter what? This is how you do it. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. In other words, I'm not just preaching this to you. You guys saw me living this when I was with you. And I'm telling you to do the same things. And if you do, then the God of peace shall be with you. But if you don't, guess what? You'll be worried out of your mind like the rest of the world. You'll be telling everyone about your mountain. Say this with me. My God will never leave me. He will never forsake me. I have no fear what man shall do to me. There is nothing on this planet that can separate me from the love of God. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. I have received eternal life through these exceeding great and precious promises. Now I'm learning to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. I live by faith and not by sight. I am at peace. That confounds the world. And I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Father, I thank you that you are not only my God, that you are my Father, that you love me, that your word is true. And I don't have to waver and wander and search around for anything else, because I already have your word. And your word is truth. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Give him glory. Hallelujah! We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. That is the truth. That is the truth. We have that peace that passes all understanding. We are content in every circumstance because you will not leave us. You will not fail us. You will not forsake us. We have all and abound in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God.